Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. So I've told my kids, listen, we're going to get you born again, spirit-filled, get you in a great local church, make sure you're in good youth group, you're going to youth camp, I'm going to get you through college, I'm going to pay for your college, I'm going to get your first car, and I'm going to pay for your wedding. After that, you owe me. Oh, you can laugh, I'm very serious, you owe me. You owe us good measure, pressed down. I'm going to launch you, and then you owe us. So if you ever come back to the house, don't spend the night. Bring food. And a good report. Because I'm going to launch you out into the world. And I know you're laughing, but I'm very serious about this. My six kids, I love my kids. I don't have perfect kids, but I got good ones. Get out there and whip something. Not somebody. Go whip something. Go be a problem solver. Don't call. Well, nothing good. And my husband, and my wife, and my kid, and my dog, and my neighbor, and my boss, and the weather. So, let me give this to you. I'm going to fire this real quick. Hang with me. This is in a series called Biblical Parenting 101. I'm an engineer, so I teach in series. Everything's 6 30-minute sessions. I think you got to hold your head under the water to either swallow or choke. You can't get it a one-shot deal. You got to feed on it for a while. So this is our parenting seminar, so listen carefully. You go back to Genesis. God said in the beginning, talking about, says it's not good for man to be alone. That's why he made him a wife. That's why the wife is better than the man. God looked at man. Good, 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 good. Not good. What's not good? Man. Not good. Not good. Take a nap. Took out a rib and made something good, because he didn't make another Adam. The first Adam was not good. What would two Adams do? Now you got two people not good. I'm just thinking like an engineer. It's like, well, if that's not good, why would you make another? Yeah, they're both not good. So when he made a woman, he made something better. Now this is all in your public library. Women are better than men. The average woman outlives the average man by 7 years. She has a better immune system. She uses both sides of her brain. Men only use one. An average woman uses 28,000 words a day. An average man only uses 12. A woman has better manual dexterity than a man does. She's got a better memory. She's got better vision. She's got almost 180-degree vision. Men have tunnel vision. That's why men are better night drivers. But in the daytime, 4 times more men are broadsided in an accident than a woman. That's why if your wife's riding in the car with you, she'll tear that dashboard up. Look out! Watch out! Look out! And there, guys, shut up, woman. You're driving crazy. It's because he can't see it. Now, this is a whole seminar. It's the only thing you listen to. I got to close this. God made women better than men. Man's still the leader, the head, not the boss. He's the head servant. Jesus said, you're going to be great in my kingdom, become the servant of all. I tell all men, first thing you'll ever do is get you an apron. Now, I'm the head of my family. I'm a lover, leader, and provider. God said that, and that'll never change. My wife is a helpmeet, a manager, and a lover. We have different job descriptions. I'm not her boss. I'm the servant. I'm the head servant of my family. Baby, what do you need? I'm either to write a check for it or start believing God for it. I'm not your boss. I'm your servant. What can I do for you? Now, it doesn't embarrass me. I was a sorry husband for a lot of years until I got born again in Spirit-filled. In my house, you come, I make them. I sell them on my website. Men's aprons, really nice canvas aprons with big red lips on the front. It says, let's play kissy face. Denise and I went to a seminar up in Springfield, Missouri one time, marriage seminar, 1,200 couples. Saturday morning, it was the session on sex and marriage. So, well, this will be good. I'll learn something. Now, Denise is there, pregnant with our fourth daughter. And I'm not like I don't know anything, but I'll learn something. This professor from college up there opened up with this statement. Her opening statement was dishes, diapers, dinner, and sex. One's about as much fun as the other. And she wasn't trying to be funny. Now, there's 1,200 of us sitting there, I thought. And I looked at her and said, what's she talking about? Shut up, Joe. You're about to learn something. And I learned that in most marriages, men do what they want to do. Women do what they have to do. Both of you come home from work on Monday. Mama's got to get dinner ready, help the kids unpack the book stuff, find out how they did at school, help them out with their homework, get the laundry ready, clean up the dish. Daddy watches that. He'll eat that meal, go and watch Monday Night Football and take a nap. All of a sudden, he'll wake up about 11 o'clock feeling good. His favorite team won, belly's full. Mama's been working like a dog in there. Shut plopped out on the couch by 11 o'clock, greasy, tired, and dirty. He'll look over and wink at her. Hey. She'll say, don't
touch me. And he'll go, it's always the stinking kids, isn't it?
I'm cleaning that up a lot. Anyhow, my wife was explaining as we left that session, Joe, let me explain in case you didn't learn anything in that session. If you want me to play kissy face at 11, I need you in the kitchen with an apron on at 7. And I went and got me one. I like playing kissy face. Anyhow, Genesis 18, God picked Abraham to start a whole new race of people. Abram, Sarai became Abram, Sarah. The reason God picked him was one reason and one reason only, Genesis 18, 19. Why did you pick this one man to start this whole race of people? Because I know him. What do you know about him? He will teach his children and his children's children about me. Is he a perfect man? No, he's tried to give his wife away twice. What man had wanted to do that, you know? He's got a bad habit of lying every now and then. He's not perfect, but I do know one thing about him. He will teach his children and his children's children. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 said, I'm to teach my children. When I get up, walk by the way, sit down and lie down. Psalm 78 commands me to teach my children to the fifth generation that they might have hope in God. Isaiah 54:13, all of my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great will be their peace and undisturbed composure. Proverbs 22:6, I'm going to train up my child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. My job, and I could just give you 50 scripts, is to teach and train my children. They're all born doofuses. They don't know a thing until you teach them. That's why church is the greatest thing on this planet. This is where we teach the next generation. We teach parents to teach the next generation. We're to put the word of God into them deep, that the words of Christ dwell in you richly. My children are going to do what they think. You better be thinking about God. You better keep feeding on God. So all of a sudden I realized my job is to teach and train. So I said, we got to do this. Man, we got a great local church. I love my pastor. We don't have a perfect church. That don't exist. We got a great one. So we came in. We realized we're going to teach you and we're going to train you. We're going to launch you out. I found in the scripture when I was teaching parenting, taught parenting for 8 years, covered some 364 subjects. I realized when God called us out to teach, I got to boil this down. I can't teach all year. I got to put this in a weekend seminar and boil it into four areas. Here it is, Luke 2:52. Luke 2:52 said, Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor of God, and favor of man. Everything I ever taught fell in those four areas. Four areas of parenting. Jesus grew wisdom, stature, favor of God, and favor of man. Jesus grew in wisdom. You know, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get yourself some. Why? Well, wisdom will get you long life, riches, and honor. Proverbs 3:16. I want my kids to live long, have honor, and be blessed. How do you do that? You need wisdom. What do you get wisdom? Well, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 34:11. So every morning, every night, I've prayed over my kids ever since they were conceived. Father, I ask you, teach my children to fear you, for the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 9:10, Proverbs 1:7. I've prayed it twice a day all my life. It doesn't make them holy, but I have given God permission. Teach my children to fear you. I'm not going to let my kids go stupid. You know, David prayed, God, search me, see if there be any wicked way in me. If there is, lead me out in the way everlasting. But when I went through just praying all the wisdom scriptures, and I wrote them all down out of Proverbs, I realized wisdom, somebody that grows in wisdom and that Jesus grew in wisdom, is somebody that has a vision for their life. A wise person, somebody that does what's right. If you read Proverbs chapter 1, there are four kinds of kids on this planet. Proverbs chapter 1, it's all in three verses. Wise children, simple-minded, foolish, and scornful. If you're not wise, you're simple-minded. You're not evil, you're not full of the devil. You just have no wisdom. You keep doing dumb stuff over and over. Why? You're not wise. If you stay simple-minded too long, you become a fool. The Bible said it's sport for a fool to make mischief. You'll make a game out of getting in trouble. Stealing stop signs, peeling your tires out, seeing how fast you can drive without getting caught. You make a game out of it. You stay a fool too long, you go to stage four, you become a scorner. A scorner hates those that love him. A scorner has the ability to get everybody around him in trouble and never get caught himself. That's why the Bible says, cast out a scorner, expel him, get him out of the midst. Cast out a scorner and strife and contention will cease. Why? They won't cooperate. You're on your own until you decide to come back and be a part of us. So all of a sudden I said, okay, I need to make sure my kids have wisdom. Well, that's having a vision. Jesus grew in wisdom. Well, he had a vision for his life. If you're reading Hebrews, here's what it says about Jesus. Jesus knew where he came from. Because I'd ask him, who are you? I'm the Son of God. Which said, I know where I came from. I laid down my glory in heaven, took on the body of a man born of a virgin birth. I know where I came from. Mama, dad had lost him. Luke 2:49, for 3 days, they were on a caravan. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. He's a 12-year-old boy. Mary finds him. She's yelling, where have you been? We've been looking for you for 3 days. Jesus answered, Luke 2:49, know ye not, I need to be about my Father's business. Jesus knew where he came from. Jesus knew why he was here. And Hebrews 12 says, Jesus said he endured the cross for the joy sitting in front of him. Jesus knew where he was going. Kids that don't know who they are, why they're here, where they're going, are a show-off. They're going to wear their hat backwards, the britches of a 400-pound man. They're going to play their music real loud and peel their tires. What is that? That's a 5-year-old thumb sucker that doesn't know who he is saying, please look at me. I don't know who I am. I did it, and I was alive when Elvis was alive. What do you do? Wear your hair like Elvis, you know, roll your sleeves up, you know, cut the mufflers off your car. What is it? Please look at me. I don't know who I am. Because the Bible says, mark then of a perfect man into that man is peace. A man that knows who he is doesn't have to prove it to anybody. He can show up and be a blessing, not suck the oxygen out of a room. Oh, I need my kids to grow in wisdom. So you pray that and you work with that. I need to plant a vision. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. Years ago, Harvard University was started up in Massachusetts to train preachers, believe it or not, 213 years ago. What are you going to do? We're going to train ministers for the gospel. They left their vision. But some had enough sense to start setting some money aside. You know, we're going to need money to do this, train these people. So they created an endowment fund. That's money that makes money. They don't spend it. They set it aside. Money makes money. People don't make money. Today, the endowment fund, we were up there 4 months ago. Their endowment today has $34 billion in it. Billion, not million. Their endowment, they get 12.7% interest off of it. Nobody gets that, and Harvard does. Their money made them $3.9 billion last year. Now, their tuition is already $43,000 a year. That's just tuition, not books, room, and board. And there is a waiting list to get into that university. They don't need your money. They got money. Why? Somebody had a vision to get some money. And so the heathen aren't struggling with money. It's the Christians seem, why? We've been destroyed for a lack of knowledge. God told us how to handle money, but we don't want to read it. We're just trying to get rich quick. You get it quick. Proverbs says you lose it quick. I don't want to lose it. I want to keep it. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and his grandchildren. When my grandfather died, I went to the funeral. Everybody said he's a good man. It was a long funeral. We had to eat outside on the parking lot because we couldn't fit inside the church. They set up the tables on the parking lot. And I remember my uncle got up and tapped on the glass, and everybody's there, and everybody said, my grandfather's a good man. He tapped on the glass and said, okay, appreciate everybody coming to the funeral. Some of you coming from several states away. We're going to pass the hat and have to take up a collection because grandpa died, and he wasn't working in the mines. They lived in the mining house, but if you die, you can't stay in the mining house, so grandma's got no place to live, so she's going to live with all 12 of us kids. It'll be the kid of the month for the rest of her life because grandpa didn't own a house. The other thing is he didn't have money for his funeral. So the casket's on loan, the burial plot's on loan out there. You know, funeral home's loaned it to us because he knows the family. So we're going to have to pay for the casket, pay for the plot. And so he had to pass that 3 times that day to get enough money to pay for my grandfather dying. Now everybody at the funeral said my grandfather was a good man. Well, the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children and his grandchildren. My grandfather reached out of the grave 2 generations down, shoved his hand in our pocket, grabbed a wad full of cash, and pulled it back in the hole with him. So biblically, he was not a good man. Because good men provide for their families, not thumbsuck about the economy. Well, that's quiet. As long as I can blame somebody else, I don't have to do anything. President's fault, Congress fault, Senate's fault, boss's fault, their fault, their fault. I'm fine. No, it's my fault. I'm the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. Everything I set my hand to prospers. God is Jehovah Jireh, my provider, supplies all my need, according to riches, glory of Christ Jesus, wish me of all things I'd prosper, being helped as my soul prospers, takes pleasure in my prosperity. Somebody's got to get out into the passing lane and start doing something. Well, we got to start training the next generation to think different. I want you to grow up in wisdom. Number 2, I need you to grow in stature. Stature means I didn't want you to mature. Jesus matured. Stature means I want you to get to the point you do what's right because it's right to do what's right, not because somebody's looking. I want you to drive the speed limit because it's right to drive the speed limit, not because you're afraid somebody with a bubble on their car is coming around the curve. Do what's right because it's right to do what's right. Now, you can get on a seminar. We go into a lot of things on how to teach them to do that. Number 3, Jesus grew in favor with God. How do you do that? Well, do what you were called and gifted to do. I got 6 children. No 2 are the same. My oldest daughter was a straight-A student all the way through school. Straight A's. Straight A's. Doesn't mean she kept her room clean or told the truth. You understand? She's still sinned. She just had a gift. My second daughter, to make that same A, would have to cram every night. But my second daughter was an all-state basketball player. She went to college on a basketball scholarship. My older daughter went to college on an academic scholarship. Your gift, not your sister's gift, not your daddy's gift, not your mama's gift. Your gift will make room for you, bring you before kings and make you wealthy. Quit trying to be like, I want to be like them. I want to be like them. Quit being like, you're not them, be you. Kids put posters up on their bed. I'm going to be like them. You're not them. You don't have their gift. You're a doofus. You're not going to be them. I told my older daughter, I said, don't ever build a bridge. Now, she made straight A's except in algebra. She flunked algebra 2 years in a row. I said, darling, don't ever become an architect and build a bridge. If you build a bridge, put your name on the end of it. Because I'm not going to drive across it because you stink at math. Find out what you're good at. We're going to help our kids find their gift. That's why do not compare yourselves among yourselves. I never looked at my kids' report cards on the same day. What are you good at? And the fourth thing is Jesus grew in favor with man. The most powerful part of this thing. Jesus grew in favor with man. There are more scriptures in your Bible on friends and friendship than there are on the subject of hell. Because you and I will become like who we hang around. Proverbs 27:17, as iron strikes iron, so the countenance of a friend. You and I will become like who we hang around. You want to be wise, walk with wise men, a companion of fools will be destroyed. Proverbs 13:20. I had to teach my kids how to be a friend. Nobody likes me. What's because you're a doofus? You got body odor, you don't know how to talk to anybody, you're just weird. I wouldn't be your friend either. We're going to have to change you. So I made all of my kids go to 3 nights of etiquette class, teach them how to dress, put on their makeup, how to carry on a conversation. Quit yapping about yourself. People don't want to hear about you. They want you to ask about them. Learn how to be hospitable, how to leave people better than you find them, not gun flap somebody. Let me tell you where I've been, what I've done. They don't want to know about you. They want you to ask about them. And so all of my kids, all six of mine, again, I don't have any perfect kids, were captains of the athletic teams. Three of my kids won state championships, all got scholarships to college. Well, you were lucky. No, I wasn't. I wasn't lucky at all. We come from a deficit. I lived in a log cabin until I was 5 years old in Turtletown, Tennessee. Our outhouse was out back on two railroad ties over the creek. It was a two-seater. I never could figure that out. Are you supposed to take somebody with you? Are you supposed to sit on one hole and look down the other? I couldn't figure out what the deal was with that. We didn't own a car till I was 7. We rode a bus everywhere. My dad lived in a rent house till I was a junior in college. He never owned his own house. We came from poor, poor people. What'd you learn? I learned God ain't poor no more. That God's good. But he needs somebody to believe him. I'll just leave with this story about training kids. I used to hate the grocery store. Six kids. We were a two-cart shopper. We went every 2 weeks and two carts of groceries with all those kids. And so we go through the cereal aisle. And the cereal aisle is like walking through the valley of the shadow of death. When I grew up, a cereal aisle had two things, cornflakes and Cheerios. Grab one and let's go. Well, now we got every shape of oats you can imagine. Two aisles of every kind of flapping jacks, jumping jacks. What? Who did this? Well, man, the kids, you know, I say, okay, one box. You get together, one box of cereal, you understand? By the time we get through that aisle, they all have their own box. I said, that's it, put it up, get the oatmeal. I don't have oatmeal. I like oatmeal in it, put it up, get the oatmeal. So 2 weeks later, we're back at this thing, we're getting ready to go in, sitting in Suburban, all the kids are with us. Denise said, Joe, before you go in, cereal aisle, what are we doing? What are we doing? Eating oatmeal. No, Joe, you're supposed to train them. How are we going to fix this? I hate oatmeal. We can't keep doing this. I looked over the back seat and I said, all right, anybody got any paper back there? Give me a blank piece of paper. Tear it up in 6 pieces. Got a pencil? Somebody, give me a pencil. Come on, quit. Hey, you ain't got any cups? I know there's cups and dishes on the floor back there somewhere. Get me an empty cup. They wrote their name on 6 pieces of paper, put it in a cup, shook it up. I said, here, draw a name out. Who's first? Corey, you're number one. Another name out. Sarah, you're number two. John was number six. Because he's my youngest. He said, what's that mean? It means you're not eating Cocoa Puffs for 6 weeks. That's what that means. Corey, she got, and she loved Cheerios. And I don't mean the honey nut, just the plain, stinky, stick your finger in your throat Cheerios. So we're checking out. She's hugging that cereal box. That's what we're going to eat this week. We're checking out. Look down, Tessa, my fourth daughter, got a little tear coming down her face. What's wrong, baby? You all right? I don't like Cheerios. I said, me neither. Tell you what, why don't you fast this week? If you'll fast, we can stretch this box for 2 weeks. Or maybe you'd like to use your faith and choke these skanky things down, because the sooner they're gone, the sooner we're getting the Apple Jacks. So we'd always prepare the breakfast table the night before. We got up the next morning. We got the little cereal bowls getting ready to go to school. All of a sudden, we're sitting down. I've got a man in my house now, my son, the newest. All of a sudden, John's come to the table, and he's got a bowl, but he went and got a Tupperware bowl. So he's walking around the kitchen table with a big Tupperware bowl. And he said, John, what are you doing? I said, no, wait a minute. We have some testosterone in the house. Let's see what's going on here. John sets that Tupperware bowl down in front of him, takes and pours a third of a box of Cheerios in that bowl.
Come on, I got myself a man. Get rid of those things, son. Get it. And so poured about a fourth a gallon of milk. He's going after it. Well, we got the gum flapping. Everybody finished this. Okay, we got to go to school. Let's go. Get up. Up. Let's go. Go.
I kissed Denise by. I'm heading out, and I glanced out of my eye, and I looked back at John's bowl. It's still full of cereal. I thought, you little rascal, you. You think you faked me off. I told Denise, put a lid on that. Put that in the refrigerator. Don't you throw that away. And Denise argued with me. I said, listen, you either do that, I'll pre-soak a bowl tonight. Don't you do it. You put that in. He's eating every one of those. Well, I forgot about it. We get up the next morning. You were coming back to the little bowls, Cheerios that are left. I was here comes John with another empty Tupperware bowl. I said, oh, no, son, we got you covered. Here, put that back. I got you covered. Now, I went in the refrigerator and pulled that bowl out and set it down in front of him at the table. When I popped that lid, you know what? Remember Tupperware? It looks like somebody has puked in that bowl. I mean, they've swollen up and stanky looking. I said, now, son, I recommend you eat this today. No, this is going to be worse tomorrow. Well, he's trying to eat them, you know, and he's gagging and his tears are running down. I wipe it up. You're eating every bit of it. My girl's dad, shut up and eat your cereal. You know, my wife's yelling at him, you're eating every bit of it. And he's crying. So after a while, he said, can I be excused? Fine. I don't care. Put a lid on it. Eat them tomorrow. And so he goes to the kitchen. Now, we are sitting in the dining room. I got two French doors. Now, I'm looking at the glass. I see the refrigerator door open up, and it's shut, and that bowl's still sitting on the kitchen counter. I thought, what's he doing? Because it's not real clear. I'm kind of seeing. All of a sudden, I saw him take the lid off the blender and pour that entire bowl of Cheerios in that blender. And I saw what he got out of the refrigerator. He got the Hershey syrup. And here they are. Put the lid on. Poured it in a glass and drunk her down and said, my God, I've raised a genius. I have raised a genius. The goal in life and parenting is not to have perfect kids. The goal in life is to train them up to solve problems. Not avoid problems. Solve problems and fix hell. You've been chosen by God to go fix some hell. Have a great life and lay up some rewards in heaven. Amen. Let's stand up.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, JoeMcGeeMinistries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.